Special guest
Gary Snyder himself.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
Hello everyone and welcome to another edition of the Power Motion Picnic Hour. As always, I'm your host Dave, and as always alongside me is
Trevor.
Trevor, what's happening? How are you?
I'm doing quite well on this very cold and rainy evening up here in Greater Boston.
Yeah, it's cold and rainy down here in Great New York as well. It's been causing me to run indoors.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been running elsewhere recently, which I'll tell you about on Weekend Running.
Can't wait to get to that. And I imagine we'll get to it pretty soon, because I don't know if I have any other topics to discuss except this long week in running since the last time we spoke on pod.
It's been such a long week in running that I was able to go to California and back twice.
That's amazing.
And also host Thanksgiving.
Did we have Thanksgiving since we've spoken?
Yes. The last time we spoke was before Thanksgiving.
Okay, yeah. That's what I was trying to figure out. I went to Connecticut and back, which is not far.
It's not quite as far.
No, I just did a quick 215 on the Amtrak.
Yep.
Yeah, even in Connecticut, even though I scoped out the neighborhoods where I was going and looked at what kind of awesome runs I was gonna be able to do, I limited my Thanksgiving runs to just the treadmill.
Well, it's nice to get them in still.
I'm glad I got them in. Yeah, I got I can't remember if I got one or two, but I got at least one up there. So
nice.
And a lot of nice running back in New York until the rains came.
Yeah, until the rains came.
Oh my God, you guys are getting killed, huh? This is a weather episode. I can already tell. You guys getting like totally destroyed up there.
It's just very rainy, and I this time of year just have like pangs of regret that it's not snow. I so much would prefer snow, but I guess it's still early. And judging by how winters have recently gone, there's the potential for like a big snow, I feel like, and then it'll get like crazy warm right afterwards or something, or rain. But yeah, it's just been raining for days.
We just don't get real snow in New York anymore in the city. We used to.
Oh, that's sad. Really? You don't get like a big storm here and there?
Not anymore. I don't know. And then the last time we got a big storm, we get like one day where it flurries and doesn't stick, one day of that a year.
Yeah. Cause I feel like it always gets warm afterwards.
We used to have some epic blizzards. I remember Christmas Day 2010. There was a blizzard.
I remember some really nice snowy days in New York over the years.
Yeah.
Well,
I was living in Brooklyn back then, and they didn't plow my street, I think, for 5 days.
Oh, yeah. Back around, 2008 or 9 in D.C., we had some, like, mega storms that hit over, like, a week and just completely destroyed the city for, like, weeks. Remember, they had to get the trucks down from all the other cities. And, they didn't know where to put all the snow. And, like, our street just didn't get plowed for several weeks, and they didn't have like in Boston or New York, that's like expected to happen. So
yeah,
just have the chair system. It's like, well, I just put this folding chair here because I just did all this work to shovel my spot, and I want it to be there when I get back, when it's like in front of your house.
Yeah, I hate the chair system.
I hate the chair system too.
They do it in Boston too, though, or maybe they don't anymore, but they used to.
I don't. I actually, as I say that, I'm not sure how prevalent it is, but it's the old, meme. Yeah. It's the old, like the old fashioned meme about Boston that people put their chairs. I've actually never been in a chair situation, I don't think.
I hate it. Yeah. I really hate it. I just think everyone should just, if you take your car out, just shovel it out. Well, do a good job. And it's,
leave it for the next person.
Yeah. It's like for like, as long as, if we want to live in a society, we all have to do our part. it's very little to ask for. But
I completely agree. I was mostly just trying to make a joke about Washington, D.C. not really knowing what to do in snow, not understanding the chair system is even an option.
They don't know about the chair system, you're saying.
That's where I was going.
No, I'm sure they don't know anything about it.
I feel like we're going down a deep hole of like societal observation and disturbing weather patterns. And oh man, I could lament the loss of winter for so long. I could spend a whole Patreon episode. Yeah, I could do like a 3 hour long Patreon of just lamenting winter.
We'll do two. We'll do one where you lament the loss of winter, and me where I complain about the chair system. Those will be two special ones for our digital subscribers.
Our Patreon followers and supporters, whom I love very much, but forget their name.
Yeah, that's fine. And yeah, but they're still very special, and they get all sorts of awesome content. People probably don't realize if they're not digital subscribers how many episodes we have about Roger Eno.
Yeah, and for those of you trying to just now quickly subscribe to our Patreon, just please note that we're actually joking. We don't have a Patreon just yet.
We don't have it yet. Yeah, if you're listening in the future, you probably can sign up. But if you're listening the week this episode comes out, unfortunately, it's still under construction.
We do have a bundle of Patreon content though. We've got like recorded post episode conversations, pre and
Yeah.
post special guest like interactions, just unheard, like some edited parts maybe from a start of an episode, like deciding where you want to start.
A lot of our best stuff.
Yeah, it's all out there.
A lot of our best stuff is not posted.
Yeah, I'm just trying to talk about not lamenting winter for a second.
Fair enough. Should
But
we? I guess we should move to Weekend Running then, though, right? I mean, you've had a hell of a weekend running, there and back again, and there and
yeah.
back again, Tail.
Yeah, it's been magical. I went to San Francisco, and that is a city that runs.
Yeah.
I'll just say it right up front. Yeah.
Okay. San Francisco gets our official "It Runs"
It
seal
runs.
of approval.
I'd had some pleasant running experiences before, as described on episode talks about the Golden Gate Park run.
That's right.
Like 50 or so years after the 45, maybe after the 55, after the Lovin.
Yeah.
There was that episode.
Both that run and the Lovin', both great moments in San Francisco history.
So this time around, I'd say I did. When I was out there, I felt like you on the bridge at night in New York. Like I'm
Yes.
like, this is a classic run. People with their marathon shirts on. When I'm running, I don't usually see other runners
Yeah.
most of the time. So it was cool to be out there with other runners. Went over to the Embarcadero, shot up to Fisherman's Wharf. Cut kind of through like North Beach and such, and a little bit of maybe Chinatown, and then down to the Transamerica sort of building area. Did like a solid, I don't know, 4.5 miles, but it was just like beautiful San Francisco sights everywhere.
Sounds
You know,
amazing.
like name a San Francisco thing like that I didn't see, you know.
Are you asking me to name one?
No, not
Okay,
really,
I was gonna say
but
I don't know that much actually about San Francisco.
I'm talking Alcatraz, Golden Gate Bridge, little cable car trolley thing,
Yeah.
steep streets,
Jerry Garcia.
Jerry Garcia. But yeah, speaking of which, on my next run, this is the most San Francisco run I've ever done. I got in a autonomously driving vehicle.
Oh.
Had a robot drive me from the hotel to something that was called Secret Stairs on the map, and
Wow.
it led up to Twin Peaks, which has been a recurring theme, ironically or just coincidentally, of the Power Motion Picnic Hour itself. So I felt the Power Motion Picnic Hour up there.
It's always with you.
It's always with me, and I looked out over the city. I saw the sun rising. I saw the big tower. I'm like, I see that tower all the time. Like that's the thing that you see like over there
Yeah.
in San Francisco. I'm like, it's right there.
It's
And
the
I
big
like
San
ran,
Francisco thing.
yeah, like I ran by that thing, and then down into this like eucalyptus forest, which was really cool, and did like the whatever little summit thing it was, Mount something. Probably should have written it down.
Awesome.
Yeah, we'll maybe come back to that on another episode. And then from there, I realized I was going to go get the robot car to drive back again. And I realized the robot cars were like nowhere in sight. I also realized I was at the top of a hill and I could just start running downhill.
Yeah, you can just run wherever you need to go.
And so I just started bombing down this hill, and I feel like I had like a mile and a half, 2 miles of just downhill bombing.
Nice. How were your knees?
My ASICs Tribuco Max 3s were light on the knees. I felt good. I wasn't going that fast in hindsight. I was definitely taking it easy. I'm like, I definitely don't want to like bomb this thing and fall and hurt myself. That would not be a good end to this great run. But I bombed down, and then I was like, where am I? And I realized I was like in the Hate, and I'm like, oh, how close am I to the Grateful Dead house? And it was like, I don't know, half a mile, three quarters of a mile away. I'm like, all right, that's where I'm going. That's where I'm going to go end the run. And saw it. And then that's where I waited 20 minutes to get the robot car.
That's awesome.
Hanging on that corner, thinking about the Grateful Dead, listening to the Grateful Dead, listening to, I think it was November 9th, 69, the Uncle John's Emergence show.
Oh, nice.
Where we now have another opportunity, I guess, to splice it in. Yeah, it was pretty special. It was a memorable run. It was an all-time run.
That sounds amazing. I'd like to do that sometime. You're actually making me think of like the Replacement song Left of the Dial. What does he say? He's like heading up to something, like heading to San Francisco, definitely not LA. You're kind of countering all my LA running with some Paul Westerberg style San Francisco running.
Yeah, I mean, we've also just been a very LA centric podcast, I feel like.
Yeah.
By design, just sort of happened that way.
It happened very naturally, but with the amount of, I keep adding more and more hills into my run, so I might have to become a San Francisco runner myself. And you know,
you'd love running there.
I've never even been to San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. Well, next time I go, you should come.
I'll be there. I was so close. I was on tour once on the West Coast and had a gig in Oakland.
That's basically it.
We had gigs. We had a show in San Jose and the next day in Oakland. And we stayed at the same place two nights in a row in Oakland. And we drove there straight from the San Jose show.
Yeah.
So like I was going to have like, usually you're traveling all day, but I was going to have like a free day.
Yeah.
And I was excited. I was going to explore San Francisco and kind of do the kind of stuff you were just talking about.
Yeah.
Minus the robot cars, because this was a while ago.
Yeah, this was before they existed.
Yeah, I don't think they were a thing. And then we got some kind of, I don't know, word from our tour manager that I had to go do a radio interview in Palo Alto. And nice. So I met, that was what my day comprised. It was me driving to Stanford and doing a Power Motion Picnic Hour, season one type interview at their college radio station. And then going back to Oakland to play the show. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, it's funny. I've never been to San Jose or Oakland, but I've spent a fair amount of time in San Francisco. And so anyway, yeah, then I guess fast forward to Thanksgiving. And then in this rather long weekend running, I found myself going back to California again. But this time got to drive up, got there a little bit earlier, was on a morning flight, drove up across the bridge up into Marin County. Wow. Definitely some good Grateful Dead vibes around there too, or history anyway.
Yeah, that's American Beauty and Red Dead right there. And
beautiful country.
Yeah.
Stopped, had a great lunch, but anyway, went to Sonoma. I'd never been to that area, the proverbial wine country, and that's beautiful, beautiful up there. Little town square. And so if you're ever in Sonoma, you run through the town square up to the mission, and then there's this overlook trail, and it's just a little 2.5 mile loop with like volcanic rock and like scraggly trees and, you know, sort of overlook of all the city and to the like mountains in the distance. It's yeah, it's pretty nice. And you kind of go down through this cemetery on this downhill. It's like another pretty like magical run. And sure enough, I wrote, "This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour," right at the top in the visitor's log.
Nice. It's with you always.
Yeah, it is. So those were my I'd say three classic California runs. Happy to share. If you're ever in California, let me know. I can recommend any one of those three.
Amazing, worthy of Gary Snyder himself or some other old hippie. Hey, take your pick. There's lots of them.
And there's tons of variations. There's a lot of options. I think you can't go wrong. Although actually, as I say that, my colleague ran two Twin Peaks across the city, through the Tenderloin, and saw somebody getting zipped up in a body bag.
Ooh, right.
On his run, so different vibes.
Yeah. Sometimes you're at the mercy of what you happen to be running by. On that downer note, slight subject.
Tough moment in running.
Yeah, it happens.
reminds me a bit of when special guest Matthew's friend died on the sky running race.
If you do enough running and talking about running and podcasting enough running so that it becomes basically your whole life, there's bound to be ups and downs and middles and lulls and everything, you know, all of life will be contained.
It reminds me of how we don't have winter anymore, a true winter in New England.
That's the name of my new poetry book. It's called We Don't Have Winter Anymore. It's Gary Snyder inspired and also inspired by running. I recommend this week's book, whatever the book, where Jack Kerouac hangs out with Gary Snyder for a whole book.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
Who do you think was the best runner in the Grateful Dead?
Definitely Bobby.
Definitely Bob. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's easy. Who's the second best runner in the Dead?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah.
Cause Bob is easily the best runner. Well, also cause you know, if you follow him on Instagram now, like everybody should, he's, you know, what is he like 76 years old? And he's just constantly putting up videos of his workout routine. And he does like, he's like swinging like hammers around. Like John Henry. And he's on like those bands and he's got on the.
He's got like minimalist shoes. He's like, he's got the barefoot shoes. Yeah, he's going pretty turbo.
Yeah. But anyway, so he's.
I'm going to say Vince Welnick.
Oh, interesting choice. I forgot he was even in the band.
I just started cycling through Grateful Dead keyboardists, and it's definitely not Pigpen. It's definitely not Keith.
Could be Brent.
I could see Brent running. Brent's a good pick.
I feel like the other thing about Brent is it'd be hard to lose an argument that Brent doesn't run because Brent fanboys are the most intense of all Grateful Dead fanboys, and so they would probably argue his case the strongest.
All right, I'm into it.
I'm not a Brent fanboy, for the record.
No, nor am I.
Or fan man might be more appropriate.
I love all the Dead, but I'd say the Brent era and sound is probably at least like fourth for me of keyboardists.
Yeah, I don't like Brent's voice or his keyboard sound.
I think, or his songwriting.
Yeah, how about that? Let's throw that in there. Yeah,
I think Bruce Hornsby probably was a pretty good runner. But I think what the listener's really looking for is Phil. Is it Phil, Mickey, or Bill? Because Billy probably not, but Mickey could sprint. I bet Mickey could do 100.
Didn't Bill do marching band though? And didn't we already once say marching band is a type of running?
That's true.
Yeah, right. He was a marching drummer growing up, wasn't he?
I guess when we say best runner, what does that even mean? It's not necessarily speed or time or distance.
Level of enjoyment.
Level of enjoyment is a good one. There's all kinds of metrics you can use.
It could be Jerry. He was an avid snorkeler. Or scuba diver, not snorkeling, scuba.
I had just completely discounted Jerry from the list entirely, but he was good at scuba, although I don't think he was running much. I think he might have been doing some like bike though, maybe around that time.
Yeah, I think Jerry gets, you know, underrated in areas outside of what he's like, you know, known for.
Yeah, like, that's true. Actually, right. And then what about Phil? I mean, why haven't we talked about Phil's running? He's tall. He's been pretty lean at times.
What about Hunter?
Yeah,
maybe Hunter could run. Who knows?
I bet Phil could. I could see Phil being a distance guy. I can see Phil just slogging it out, getting into the no sleep zone, seeing an owl, trudging on.
Phil's got those terry cloth wristbands, so he's kind of ready to wipe the sweat off his forehead.
He's ready. Rest in peace.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Phil. That's right. Every episode now is just a Phil Lesh tribute. Now I'm going to insert the clip from when we saw Phil Lesh and Friends live. What year was that? 2006.
2006, maybe.
Yeah, that's the only time I saw Phil. You might have seen him other times.
Yeah. Well,
I would assume you did.
Yeah. I saw him with like different iterations of the Dead, mainly the Dead, which was playing around, 2004 to 14-ish time frame, I feel like, before Dead & Company.
The original band.
So I have a little bit of mailbag here.
Let's do it. I'd love to hear that.
All right. I've got an outbound, and an inbound. Which should we start with?
Let's start with the inbound, a little more traditional.
Okay. We had a write-in from a dear listener. This is Coach Friend's friend, who is also a coach and might have also been coached by Coach Friend for that matter.
Okay.
Won the Wyndham Woods Thankful Trails 5K.
Oh, congratulations. Is that like Ski Wyndham?
Yeah, same area.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Little trail 5K, won with a time of 21:18.
That's fast.
Congrats to listener, Coach Friend's friend.
Ryan. Yeah, listener friend. Congratulations.
All right. And then in outbound mailbag, I was thinking the other day on a run, I ran by somebody and they made a comment about Lenny. They were like, can he keep up with you? And, you know, I reflected on how often I get like comments like that about Lenny.
Yeah.
And people totally underestimate him. And then I make like little quips back, like, I'm the one trying to keep up with him. Or the guy that said like, well,
yeah, who saved who?
Yeah. One guy said to me the worst was a guy on coming down the north side of Mount Watatick, as formerly skied on by listener Captain.
Yeah, listener my father.
Yeah. Former minor ski area of New England, running down those slopes, good vibes. And somebody commented about how fast he was. And I was like, yeah. And then, but it was all just a setup for him to make his joke. Well, he's got four legs. You've only got two.
Oh, come on. Come on, sir. That's not necessary.
To which I had no reply.
You'll be ready for it the next time you get that line.
That's a smile nod scenario for me.
Yeah.
So anyway, the outbound mailbag is what trail jokes do you have about dogs, or what dog jokes do you tell on the trail, or what dog running encounters have you had, and what have people said?
I like that. Yeah. Please write in or let Dave Rawlings know, and I can't wait to hear what we get. And I'm going to add to that maybe, because I was going to say, it's always good to have like that. You found yourself in one of those situations where you realize it's good to have a catchphrase. So something you can always respond. And so maybe also give us your kind of ready responses. So like, I'm thinking what would have been a good response is like what a Kinky Friedman would have said in that situation, whereas he probably would have said that person would have made the dumb dog joke and you would have just said, thank you for being an American. And that's just like ready to go, you know.
That's ready to go.
And so let us know what on the trail ready to go lines you have too, when people throw jokes at you that you're not ready for.
Yeah. I think that's yeah, I think that does it for the mailbag for this week, unless you have anything.
I do, because I know I was in some conversation where somebody was talking about running, and I then had to explain to them that once they start talking to me about running, they're officially in the mailbag. But due to the fact that we just had a 17-week long week in running, I completely forgot, and I never write things down. So I
17 days.
17 month long week. So it feels like it. I don't know. A lot has happened. So no, I don't actually have any mailbag. None that I recall, Senator.
I did just remember another funny little anecdote from waiting for my robot car on the corner of, the Grateful Dead house, which is not actually the corner of Haight-Ashbury. I think it's
It's close,
710
right?
Ashbury, but it's like a block and a half up or something from Ashbury. So I'm on that corner of whatever street and waiting for the robot car, and a car pulls up, and I'm listening to the Dead, wearing my running clothes and looking for the Waymo, and a car pulls up, and this woman rolls down the window and yells something at me. And it was and like seemed to smile and wave and roll off. And I had no idea what she said, but it sounded like to me one of two possible things. Either nice legs or this way. And I like to think it's the
Wow.
first.
Yeah, I think so. But regardless, either one of those, an appropriate reply would be thank you for being an American.
Thank you for being an American.
It's never wrong.
I think I gave a smile and a wave.
Which is
Either
totally
way, I
appropriate.
have no, I have no actual idea what they would have been talking to me about.
Yeah, they had no business talking to you.
So it must have just been, I must have just gotten catcalled.
Yeah, it happens. If you got the legs, it's bound to happen from time to time.
Guess that's what you should expect as a runner.
Yeah, that's the runner's life.
Probably.
Speaking of technology and running, I had a funny thing happen to me during this week in running. So the good news is I've now officially qualified for next year's New York Marathon.
Woo!
Yeah,
All
so
right.
and as I already covered previously, New York Marathon was the best day of my life. Can't wait to do it again. But the way I qualified was because I had one more race I had to do with the New York Road Runners 9+1 program. I did a virtual 5K,
Nice.
which is it's like the easiest thing in the world if you think about it. But to do the virtual 5K, I had to sign up for Strava,
Oh,
which I
that's
had
right.
previously lobbied against, and also been encouraged not to do by every guest who comes on the show and tells us about how Strava is toxic. And I say, okay, well,
You've just exercised just, you've casually just abstained.
yeah, but
I
any so so
don't
I
feel like
had
you've had like a thing out for Strava. It's
no
more
I
just like it's not for you, and that's cool.
lack of interest. But I had to sign up for Strava and link it to the race page so that it could like register my run to confirm that I did one. And so I did, and I left my house and I ran over the Manhattan Bridge, and then I ran to Prospect Park and I did a lap and then some around Prospect Park, and then I ran home. And so I pulled the phone out of my whatever little runner's fanny pack and turned it off and saw that I'd finished my 5K at a nice 13 and a quarter miles. But anyway, I was kind of pumped. It was kind of fun. I did 13 and a quarter miles at I think having the thing back there made me want to run faster and faster, you know? And so I did at an 8:35 pace,
Oh, wow.
which felt very fast for me. And then and so I did a second long run a week later, which was similar, except I ran over the bridge, ran to Prospect Park, ran two laps, and ran back. And that was 15 and a half. And I did that in 8:45 pace. For me is
Wow.
blazing. And aside from the possible dangerous running through intersections at some points, although a lot of it was in the park and on the bridge and stuff like that, which was very safe. I was just flying out there. And so I haven't done another one since those two, but I'm just saying, who knows? Maybe I'll be turning that thing on every now and then just to see how it's going.
I think that's, I mean, you can do it with Strava. You can avoid like I think the there's I guess there's a couple aspects of like how it can be toxic. There's like the social aspect, which some people are into. I'm very like comfortably sort of not a part of that. You know, got like 10 followers or something that are just like either friends or just random like people, a couple like local runners that are just doing similar running. But then the other aspect is like what Strava is telling you and how you read the data and all that. But I think if you're not like obsessing over it day to day and you use it as like an occasional check for like pace and, or even like heart rate or whatever you're working on, you can do cadence. Like for that kind of stuff, it's like super helpful. Like think about how you just have this at your fingertips.
Which is pretty cool. Although I'm not confident that, that it was that accurate. Like, I think the GPS on my phone is probably not accurate enough and I probably wasn't running quite that fast.
Yeah, totally.
Like if I had, I think you need a watch, right? To make it,
I think a watch
really
is,
accurate. Yeah.
I think a watch is better. And then I think if you're getting into like heart rate, you do like, there's like armbands now that are really good. I think those are like the current thing. There's chest straps. The wrist ones apparently are not very reliable.
Well, who knows? Maybe I'll stick to just good old fashioned soul running. And
I think it's a beautiful thing. I'm trying to do more soul. I'm paring back that stuff as much as I can.
It was nice for, I don't know, I guess I had to do it for the virtual race. So it was fun to set out for a 5K and then have the stats come in and be like, thank you for your 13 and a quarter mile 5K.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was kind of a fun way to do it. But it's exciting to qualify for the New York Marathon again. I can't wait to do that again.
That's amazing. Congratulations.
Thanks. I mean, it didn't take much, just a little bit of will. And then the New York Roadrunners being, you know, accommodating enough to include races like this at the end of the year for people who missed one or two earlier, which I did. So
that's true. That's a very accommodating gesture. People have worked hard at this point. If they need to tack that on, you know,
yeah,
could have that option.
And all these events raise money for charity, so it's always nice to have an extra excuse to do that.
Recently, I was thinking about how we recently talked about like 90s, like sort of 80s, late 80s, 90s, like sort of indie and rock bands and stuff, like coming out with some newer stuff and how that's going. And I was psyched because I saw like this new Meat Puppets album that I listened to. And I was like, oh man, I'm going to use one of these as like a song of the week maybe. And I even thought about sending it to you a little bit before this episode and being like, we're not gonna be able to run to it, but it'd be a good one to talk about. And then I realized, it was an EP that came out in 1986 that was just re-released in 2024.
That's why it's so good.
I didn't want to say that or think that, but I was like, oh man, they still got it.
86, huh? That's interesting. I feel like I'm trying to think like for the, I don't know. I was a big fan of like the Meat Puppets' first few records, as I think a lot of people are. At least a lot of Fortissimos are.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I know what anything they put out in 86. They put out Mirage, I think, in 84. And that's when they lost me. That record sounds like Fish.
Oh yeah. No, this definitely has some like Fish vibes. It's like let's just do it. I'd say the song
I'll edit
is
it in, yeah.
The song is Mountain Lion. Okay. You know what? We're gonna do something crazy. We're gonna listen to it live and we're gonna live Song of the Week it.
All right, let's do it. Comes in with kind of a classic rock vibe.
Little stoner rock.
This song stops sounding like stoner rock very quickly. Chris Kirkwood comes in with his washtub style bass playing. Kirk Kirk Kirkwood comes in and with his recognizable voice. And you're like, oh, it's the Meat Puppet. Gets kind of fishy.
I mean, we could be at like a Mo concert right now. You wouldn't know any different.
Who was at this show, like in this era?
Yeah.
Like,
this was before that stuff existed, so people weren't like,
that's true.
Oh, this is, well, the string cheese incident.
That's true, but Fish existed, but nobody knew who they were. They were like in college.
I guess this definitely has a fish vibe. Who knew that the meat puppets and Fish were exploring the same terrain?
It's something that occurred to me when I first heard Mirage. I was like, what's this now?
Yeah.
You could see them going in that direction. The Meat Puppets covered Franklin's Tower on like their first record. It was just,
here we go.
Cheers. Wind chimes. It's like a whole new song. Yeah. Now they're waiting in the velvet seat.
The curtain width.
Yeah, that's right. That's more accurate. Well, that curtain width by Fish is probably around the same time as this, right? Maybe, yeah. a little after, maybe, but close.
I guess like Ween was doing some of this too.
Yeah, later, but yeah, in the 90s. Well, that was lovely. Who knew that the Meat Puppets, aside from influencing grunge music, also invented 90s jam band music?
Yeah, and wrote the song "The Curtain Width" yeah, by Fish,
yeah,
in 1986 on their "Out My Way" EP.
Well, it makes sense if you think about it. And maybe we want to, you know, maybe we want to outbound mailbag Kirk Kirkwood or Chris Kirkwood and see if either of them want to come on. I bet one of them runs.
See if they run. If they don't run, they're still eligible as musicians.
Yeah.
Now, I guess, officially a song of the week, too. So congrats to the Kirkwoods.
Congrats to the Kirkwoods and whatever the drummer's name for the Meat Puppets is. I don't know his name, but yeah. I've loved the Meat Puppets forever. Or at least since Nirvana unplugged in New York.
Yeah. Just, thank you, Pat Smear.
Yeah, that's when everybody our age discovered the Meat Puppets. Those records were all out of print. And then my favorite era of music, or like music, being a music listener, was the late 90s, when all these small record labels popped up that started reissuing things.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the great things about CDs, despite that they charged more for them, was that they were much cheaper to make than tapes or vinyl. Mm-hmm. And then after they established that they could get away with charging more, a lot of small labels popped up that were all of a sudden reissued like everything that had been out of print. And I remember some label in the late 90s when I was in high school reissued like all the 80s Meat Puppets albums. And so I bought the first four.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I guess the readout on Song of the Week is It runs. There's definitely some washed up bass. There's definitely some vibes we already discussed. Then like sort of the little breakdown at the end and the little outro with the little sort of casual vibes. I don't know, is there anything else we want to say about Song of the Week?
No, I don't think so. Meat Puppets are 80s Meat Puppets are the best 90s jam band, I guess.
I guess that's what we discovered today on the Power Motion Picnic Hour. And as always, we meandered a bit before we got there, but we landed at a logical conclusion. And as always, we just love being here, appreciate the listener, and love just discovering together.
Thanks for coming. Thanks for listening. When trying to figure out what to get your loved ones for a holiday gift, don't sleep on old Meat Puppets reissues. That's always a great gift. I think anybody would like that.
Yep. You can also get various Power Motion Picnic Hour merchandise on redbubble.com. And what's not the more classic stocking stuffer than a Bobos, a full Bobos rolled oat bar?
When in doubt, Bobos for Christmas or any holiday.
What flavor do you recommend for? I guess it's very individual, but if you were to gift, let's say you were to gift a full Bobos to the dear female Gearshed testing correspondent, who is now your wife,
That's right. Oh, well,
which Bobos would you give?
I know I would give myself the banana chocolate chip one.
Ooh.
So I guess I'd give her that one too, because I don't know what her favorite would be. I'll ask.
This is like that show also from the 90s where you're supposed to guess your partner's like or
Favorite Meat Puppets album?
yeah
Yeah, you should, everyone should.
nobody guesses Out My Way in 1986.
No,
It's like,
ever it's
and
all Meat
it's
Puppets
like,
2 and Up on the Sun.
it's like you don't even know me.
I think these days I'd go with Too High to Die.
Nice.
Yeah, never out of print.
I was a bit disappointed when I realized the Meat Puppets hadn't put out a 2024 album that I could do like 90s comeback. But I feel like they did maybe put out some albums as recently as like 2019 or something.
I'm sure. Yeah, they're still an active touring band, and I say that because I saw them live like 15 years ago. And so it was a great show. They opened for it was Built to Spill and Dinosaur Jr. It was the 90s.
It's great.
I think
In any case.
that's probably a great place to leave it. I can't wait to pick it up next time and cover all these same topics again. But we like to say until next time.
Onward.
Special guest,
some other old hippie.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
Thank you for being an American. Thank you very much. Been a financial pleasure. Thank you. Little bugger rode it in the limo coming over from the hotel this afternoon. Faded, jaded, fallen. Cowboy star, pawn shops itching for your old guitar. Where you going? Ain't nobody knows. The sequins have fallen from your clothes. Once you heard the Opry crowd applaud, now you're hanging out in Fourth and Broad on a rain wet sidewalk, remembering the time when coffee with a friend was.
still a dime, and everything's been